WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
I'm Michelle.
Hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Not at my best. My tonsils are swollen.
Ugh.
So talking is going to be a little difficult today. So you are going to be running the show.
Oh. Anyhow, the
here
show
we are.
On you. We're the podcasters. Show.
Yeah,
right?
We're podcasters.
So today we're having obstetrician gynecologist, mm-hmm. Dr. Bridgewater on.
I can't wait.
She's a female obstetrician gynecologist, and she attended the University of the West Indies. Mm-hmm. She did her MBBS there, as well as her specialty in obstetrician and gynecology. And
top of her class. Distinctions. I mean, I can't wait to talk to her. We both follow her on Instagram, and I was just really drawn to her personality. She's just very vibrant, yeah. And I literally felt a connection with her just through social media. Can you believe that?
Her energy is very inviting.
Very positive. Warm. Yeah, very, for very sure. positive.
Can't wait to talk to her.
Can't wait.
Hello, Dr. Bridgewater. I'm Nikki.
Hi, I'm Michelle.
Hi, Nikki and Michelle. Nice to meet you both.
Likewise.
We're so excited to have you here.
Same.
I was telling Michelle the story that I saw these beautiful pictures of mm-hmm. a beautiful bride on Instagram. And I was like, oh my gosh, this girl is gorgeous. Not only was she beautiful, I just loved her energy and her personality just, you know, was just vibrant in it.
And that was you.
It was our very
Bridgewater.
Yes.
Congratulations.
So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you, honestly. Thank you so much for those compliments. And I think most people that have seen the pictures, they're like, you guys just look so happy.
Yes.
And I'm like, honestly, to me, that's like the best compliment you can get from your wedding pictures ever.
Of course. So how is married life?
So far, so good. You know, knock on wood.
It's brand new.
We got, you know, a month and a half. And we think I have like maybe 100,000 months to go, hopefully.
So are you married to a doctor as well, or is he a different
person? No, absolutely not. That was a deal breaker for me, to be honest.
And Nikki's married to a doctor, by the way.
I know, but Nikki is not a doctor, so it follows the trend. Smart people.
Right.
So I hope to have the longevity you guys have. But no, I thought it was important for me to have somebody who was a little bit more stable, who had a more predictable schedule, which funnily he doesn't, but because he actually works in supply chain and travels a lot. But I think, you know, our personalities, and to me, occupation is the least. It's really the personalities and how you gel and things like that, and everything else was compatible, so we said we're good to go.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, congrats to you both.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your career. What year are you, by the way?
I'm class of 2011. So I've been out now for over 10 years. Yeah, thereabout. Mm-hmm. And then I did my residency. So I'm home trained. So I did my medical school and my residency here in Jamaica at UWMona. But I tried to be a CARICOM girl because I'm actually a Trinidad Jamaican. So I did like my internship in Barbados, and I did electives over there as well, to try and, you know, experience healthcare within the region and get a better scope.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Okay, perfect. Good. So how did you decide to choose your specialty?
So my specialty, well, I chose medicine, honestly, because my mom did medicine. Oh, and I was her first daughter. And, you know, women and their daughters, you know, mommy, you emulate your mom. And so I was like, I want to be like mommy. And I said I wanted to do medicine. But then when I got into medicine, I was like, I don't really like what she does.
What does mom do?
She's actually a radiologist.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I believe I heard that. Yes.
Yes. So she's a radiologist. She actually is one of the directors at one of our founding companies, one of our premier companies in radiology here, Apex Radiology. Okay. But as much as she loves her job, it was a little not so fulfilling for me. The idea of radiology, you know, you see the patients, you do the study, and then you don't really see them again. I didn't feel like that was going to be particularly fulfilling. I like interactions. I like relationship building. I like interacting with people. And so I felt that it had sort of that shortcoming, whereas obstetrics was the complete opposite. It kind of met all my, you know, wants and needs and desires, and felt like it was the choice that was going to make me the happiest. And I felt that if I'm happy in my job, I will do my job to its best ability and I will flourish. So that's why I ended up with ONG.
And what we know of you, that's absolutely perfect, because you made that connection with your patients. We feel connected to you just from social media.
Thank you. That's the whole point. So thank you for that. I think that is, I mean, there's so many of us out there. There's so many doctors at baseline, and then there are lots of obstetricians and gynecologists as well. And I think there are also so many of us that are just good, you know? And I think what helps me to kind of stand apart and what I think is part of me as a person and my brand is just that I'm very relatable, you know? And I spend the time to, half of my consults is just chatting. Me just talking to my patients and getting a feel for what's going on in their lives. And, you know, because out of that comes a lot of the key information that I then need to take and say, okay, this doesn't sound right, you know, let's adjust this. Let's see how we can improve your life in this arena, you know, give you a better quality of life. Sometimes patients are quite complacent with what's going on, not realizing that they actually have a problem. And in those casual conversations, they feel comfortable enough to divulge that information. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's how I practice medicine.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
So at our age group now, we're no longer in need of an obstetrician.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we do need some gynecology help. Is that part of your practice? And how do you, what do I want to say, Michelle?
Well, how do you guide your patients at our age?
Yes, exactly.
So between 40s and 50s, I know it's very different from in the 20s and 30s. You know, each decade is a bit different. So how do you guide us, you know, what tests we should be doing? You know, we should be doing screening, the mammogram screening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if a lot of women are well aware of the changes. I mean, we know the changes are taking place in our bodies, right? But I don't know if we're well aware of the different tests that we need to be taking at this stage. Mm-hmm. So we're going into menopause. Some of us are already in menopause. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many changes. From, you know, menstruation to menopause is a huge jump. So
agreed.
How do you guide your patients between their 40s and 50s and what they should be looking out for and what sort of screening you should be doing at this time?
And even in beyond.
And beyond. The 50s. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So in terms of, yes, I definitely do gynecology. That's the beauty of ONG, you know. That's, you know, it's a journey. You carry your patients throughout all those different areas in their life, their reproductive years, their non-reproductive years, everything. And so I do a lot of gynecology, and I do have a lot of patients in that age bracket as well. And as you rightfully said, your needs change on every aspect, you know, every aspect of your life, your needs change, and your screening needs also do change to some degree as well. So there are some things that are just general well-being things. So, you know, making sure that my patients do their executive. Because a lot of the time, women in particular, once you have that relationship with their gynecologist, sometimes they don't see their general practitioners as often as they probably should, because most situations they're taught to present to their gynecologist. So I try to make sure that I make sure to, that they're doing all of their screening when I see them, starting with a basic executive. Because the older you get, right, and the more life you've lived, and the more food you've eaten, and the more glasses of wine, certain things you're just slightly at a higher risk for. So there's likely increased risk for deposits in your vessels, which can then put you at a higher risk for things like hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, and the implications of that then go on to the other spectrum, you know, a higher risk for heart attack, stroke, et cetera. You know, generally you've been in your body for longer. So as I tell my patients, I'm like, there's gonna be inevitably some amount of wear and tear. And so we have to make sure to keep an eye. So just like how you keep your car going to get serviced, to make sure that you pick up on problems before they're catastrophic. You want to make sure that you change your brakes in time before, you know, you jam brakes in a trap because a taxi man cuts you off and you're in an accident, right? Prevention better than cure.
Of course.
And the same thing applies to our health. So making sure that we're doing our executives annually, right? And an executive, for those that don't know who are listening to the podcast, this is a blood test. That's a very comprehensive blood test. It looks at things like your blood count. So if you are still having your menses, making sure that you haven't developed anemia, looking to see that there are no infections, no change in your blood count values, It looks at your kidney function. It looks at your cholesterol. It actually checks you for diabetes, checks your thyroid, which is also very important for women and not spoken about enough, because a lot of symptoms that women have, it's not truly menstrual issues. It's sometimes thyroid issues manifesting. And it also looks for things like, you know, certain infections. It checks your urine, and it also checks your stool to make sure that there's no blood in your stool, which is a way of predicting that there are no problems with your intestines or your colon. Mm-hmm. So always making sure that patients do their yearly executives, so you make sure that you're doing that. You also need to be continuing some of the screening that you were doing from when you were younger. So you definitely need to maintain your cervical cancer screening in the form of your pap smears, right? There's always a bunch of, when it comes to cancer screening, there's always a bit of controversy, because international values and our local values actually differ slightly. And the reason for that is because we found that locally, we tend to have slightly more aggressive forms of cancer. And this is true for cervical cancer, this is true for breast cancer, and a couple others as well. So internationally, you'll see that, you know, women should have their pap smears done every 3 to 5 years. But locally, we still advocate for yearly. I noticed the ministry is starting to talk about every 2 years if you've had a series of normal pap smears and if you're in a certain age group. But we tend to be a little bit more aggressive about our cervical cancer screening, because cervical cancer is still, unfortunately, one of our top 3 cancers in our women. And it's actually one of the most, it's actually the preventable cancer. Like, we really shouldn't have cervical cancer in 2022 going into 2023. And so I always impress upon my women to do it, because once you're sexually active, and, you know, I hope most of my women in that age group are still sexually active, not time to hang up anything at that point in time, right? Live your best life until it's over, is what I tell my patients.
Right.
So I'm hoping that my patients are still sexually active, which means once they are, they're inherently at risk for HPV exposure, which means that they're inherently at risk still for cervical cancer. And so we want to prevent that by staying on top of their cervical cancer screening. Okay. Right? So those are 2 major things. Pardon?
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
And then the other major one that we talk about every year with my patients is their mammograms. Okay. And it's October. It's breast cancer awareness. You know, have on my pink.
Yeah, that's just wear my pink lipstick.
Okay, I see. I have pink on my nails too. I've been trying to wear pink a lot this month. I'm running out of clothes though. But yeah, so because it is cervical cancer, breast cancer awareness month.
Yeah.
Especially, we cannot leave out mammograms. So we can't leave out mammograms in any month, to be honest.
Of course.
Because breast cancer is still our leading cause of cancer-related deaths.
Right.
So mammograms are very important for breast cancer screening as well. We actually recommend for women to start at 40 years old locally. Again, a little bit of a discrepancy, because if you Google, you'll actually see the American Cancer Society saying 45. And there, even if some European places actually go as far as 50. But again, unfortunately, some of the non-modifiable risk factors for breast cancer are things like genetics, race, and family history. And Jamaicans, unfortunately, most of us are of African descent, which is puts us at a high risk. We tend to have a higher prevalence of the genetic factors as well. And then secondarily, we tend to have a strong family history because it is so prevalent in our community. So locally, the recommendation is that women really should start at 40. And I had a little chat with one of our breast oncologists before coming on, and he asked me to impress that upon everyone, because, you know, we really want to try and get the numbers down. We want to get the numbers down.
And of course, certainly, it's self-examination too, right, Dr. Bridgewater?
Certainly.
Yeah.
So I make sure that my patients are doing their mammogram, but I also talk to them about self-examination, because that's once a year. There are 365 days for something to go awry during that period. So I examine my patients when I see them at least once a year. Typically, I do it at most points of contact, but at least once a year when they come in for their annual review, I will do my clinical check. But I tell them, listen, this is your temple. You need to safeguard it as best as possible. This is your investment in your body. And so you need to be familiar with your body. You are the one that wakes up with it every day. So I encourage my patients to do their self-examination at least once a month. Ideally, you want to choose a stable time or consistent time in the month, because how your breast feel will change depending on where you are in your cycle, especially if you are still menstruating fairly regularly, right? So you want to choose a time. Typically, the best time is after a period because that's when they're the least dense. But, you know, if you say, okay, you know, doc, I know that I go haywire during my period and after my period is when my productivity is up and running, I'm not interested in that at that point in time. I'm like, just be consistent about it, okay?
So that's a
time period. Your cycle and be consistent so that you know what the normal for that time period feels like and you can pick up if there's any deviation from that, because self-examination and breast detection has actually been the leading cause of people finding things earlier, not just the routine screening. And so an early detection 100% can save your life. Absolutely. So making sure that you are familiar with your body, not just your breast, but your entire body, to be honest with you. And if you do notice that's off, do not be afraid to seek health care advice. Do not be afraid to go to your physician and be like, doc, I think something's off here. I just want to check. Because at the end of the day, it is better that you, best case scenario, you find out you're fine, right? Worst case scenario, you find out you're not fine, but you picked up on it early, and that can make the world of a difference.
Of course. Yes. So Michelle, I think we have to make a day where we can get some executives done.
Right. Right. We need to.
Please do.
Well, we will, for sure. We will. Yeah. We set the example.
Right.
So you're doing something that's super exciting. Cosmetic gynecology. Tell us about that.
Well, all right. So generally, if I just have to explain to you my general thought process. So I believe that we are, as women, are phenomenal creatures. And I think we have been marginalized and underserved for a vast majority of our lives. I have a lot of pet peeves about how women's health has been dealt with. Yes. I don't think that we are encouraged to have certain conversations. I think that we are unfortunately shunned about certain things and ill-prepared for a lot of the transitions in our lives.
Agreed.
I do think that men, I mean, you know, something as simple as firstly childbirth. I think we villainize childbirth a lot and we don't need to. I really hope that we can kind of change the tone and the scope. Menopause, our women are completely ill-prepared for menopause. We do not talk about it enough. We do not warn each other. We don't even have enough treatments available for our women. And so that's another area that I definitely want to look into.
Yeah, the time before menopause.
Yeah, when I mentioned that, that's true. When I mention menopause, I'm actually not even talking about menopause. Menopause is the least. It's the perimenopause.
Perimenopause.
That period where your body's just
totally confusing.
Almost like forsaking you.
Yeah, yes, totally yes, confusing. Yes.
And if you don't know what's going on, sometimes, I mean, it's easier when you have the hot flashes and the more classic symptoms. But when you realize that you just have insomnia, forgetfulness, these mood changes, and you're thinking, am I going crazy? What's happening? And everybody's just like, lodging miserably. Exactly. And nobody understands. And nobody's educating you that this is actually physiological. This is not you. This is chemical. And, you know, giving you options to help you to transition and to adapt better. You know, so I think that there's definitely tons of room for that as well, especially because our women are aging way more and more gracefully, right? Women at 40 and 50 and 60 are not the women of 40 and 50 and 60 of yonder years, you know?
Exactly.
We like to think
men
so.
Are fabulous. Pardon?
I said, we like to think so.
I agree wholeheartedly. These women are fabulous. These women are living their lives. These women want to continue to enjoy a certain quality of life going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be available. We should make Absolutely. That effort to support them as they transition through this, to maintain their lifestyle as best as possible. So menopause is actually one of my medium goals, but that's how I ended up on the trajectory of cosmetic gynecology as well, because I feel like women are not encouraged to be sexual at all. We're mm-hmm. thought, you know, we're trained that, you know, us having sex is really for procreation purposes, first and foremost, secondary for, you know, appeasing our husbands. And yes, I do think they should enjoy the process too, but it's two of us. We should both be enjoying this as far as Absolutely. I'm concerned.
For sure.
Right? This is not your womanly task that you have to do. This is something that you should want to do because you enjoy it as well. Mm-hmm. And so cosmetic gynecology is it's an arm of gynecology that helps women with both sexual gratification in forms of certain procedures like O shots, G shots, etc. And then also women embracing their bodies more. Because
pause 1 minute.
What are O shots and G shots?
So the O shot is actually an for orgasm shots, right?
Okay, then.
It is a minor procedure, day procedure, in and out. You're actually wide awake, no need for sedation. It is use of PRP. So PRP stands for platelet-rich plasma. And that's something that we've been finding to be very useful all throughout the body. So the dermatologists use it a lot for like hair regeneration and other skin conditions, because what they found is that platelet-rich plasma helps to enhance collagen production. Sorry. And collagen production helps to make the area more rejuvenated, more elastic, to help with growth. It has growth factors in there. So it helps with growth of the hair. And it also helps, and what we found is that it helps in the vagina. So especially for women who are going through that perimenopausal period or that menopausal period, because one of the unfortunate side effects is that you naturally can undergo some amount of vaginal dryness and vaginal atrophy, where the cells in your vagina actually start to get shrunken. And so they become a little less sensitive. Mm-hmm. And what we found is giving PRP in very key areas can, one, help to rejuvenate the vagina altogether, right? As well as to make certain areas more sensitive than before. So it can actually help to increase your number of orgasms, increase the intensity of your orgasms, to help to make sex a bit more gratifying for you. And it can be used by...
So let me ask you a question. You do these injections in your vagina?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
So we just literally, so you're wide awake, you can be chilling on the phone. Yes, catching up on your series, your Netflix series or something. And what we do is we just inject it. We take the blood because it's actually your blood. So you don't have to be worried about like, you know, infections or risk of contamination or anything. So we actually take the blood from you. We put it in a centrifuge and spin it down to separate the different sections of blood so that we can take out the platelet-rich plasma. And then we re-inject it in certain key areas to help to increase vaginal lubrication, sensitivity, and function.
Wow.
And it can be used by itself. Okay, that's why I'm here. Now you know, and your podcast listeners know. Yes.
O-shots are available now.
So that's an O shot. That's an O shot.
So it's interesting because we kind of, they call it the O because it's linked with the O, with the orgasm, but it's very similar to the G shot. So it's actually the same PRP, but depending on the location that we put it, we can call it different things.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Wow. Very interesting.
It can be used by itself or it can be used with laser or ultrasound, something called HIFU, which also helps to further stimulate collagen as it helps to rebuild the vessel, the mucosa or the tissue in the vagina, to kind of plumpen it again and make it more youthful so that it feels and functions a lot better.
So is there a recovery period after getting those injections?
We ask for a little bit of downtime just because we just want the areas that were injected to heal. But typically the downtime is like little to nothing, like just a few days and then you're good to go. And it works. It lasts for several months. Now, the thing about it is it's not a definitive full-time lifetime fix because your body will eventually break down the PRP. It would typically tell people to expect significant benefits for about 3 to 6 months. I have had patients that have come back and I'm like, okay, 6 months, are you ready for a top-up? And they're like, doc, I'm good. I'm still living my best life. Like, trust me, I'll be back. I'll tell you when I need to be back. So I'm like, okay, no problem. But it varies from person to person how long the benefits last for, but most patients have significant improvement. And it's not just for gratification. It can actually also be used for incontinence. So it can be used around the urethra, which is the area where urine travels from your bladder to outside. And in mild cases of incontinence, which a lot of our women have, especially after childbirth, it can actually be a very minimal zero downtime procedure to help to improve on those symptoms. Most patients with mild urinary incontinence go to perfectly normal. Patient satisfaction scores are through the roof with it as well. And again, the duration varies, you know, up to 6 months, sometimes more, sometimes less. And if you want, if you feel like, you know, this thing is humbugging you again, you just come in for another top up.
Wow. Another shot.
Yeah, just come for another shot. You're good to go.
And Dr. Bridgewater, where can we find you though?
I was just about to say, a lot of people
and
are going to
want to find you.
Well, you can find me on, firstly, on social media. You can get all the red secondary information from that. So I'm on Dr. Bridgewater, OBGYN, on Instagram and Facebook. My locations are currently at Andrews Memorial Hospital in Kingston and Portmore Pines Apex Healthcare and Associates in Portmore Pines. But I will be opening up my location, my personal office very soon, where we will be offering even more than what we're talking about now. So I'm very excited for that. And that's going to be located in the Kingston metropolitan area in Lady Musgrave. So join me, follow me so you can see what's available and so you can be in the loop when that starts to happen.
And we'll update our listeners. Whenever you send out that information, we'll update our listeners.
Yes, please share with us so we can
And then the last thing I want to mention about cosmetic gynae is also for women embracing themselves as well. So, I mean, a lot of people have different conflicting opinions on women enhancing themselves. For me, I believe once it's not harming you, if it makes you happy, go ahead, knock yourself out, right? And there are lots of women out there who have insecurities about how they look down there, how their vagina is, especially after childbirth, you know? Mm-hmm. They may notice, you know, there are countless women that have had that tell me stories about, you know, doc, I had my baby, I got a tear, they said it didn't need fixing or it didn't need tacking or they did stitch it and I think it pulled and I just never like, I don't even want to look down there anymore. And that breaks my heart because as women, we should embrace ourselves from head to toe. We are gorgeous, we are fabulous, we're our temples, and we should feel that way. And for women who have those issues, it's not too late. You don't need to just accept it. You can actually do what we call labiaplasty. So there are different things that can be done where we can correct old tears. If you find that, you know, one labia is too long than the other one and you feel like the asymmetry is upsetting you, that can also be fixed. There are tons of different options. So if you are uncomfortable in your body in that region, you should also come in to see a cosmetic gynecologist because we can also talk about how can we get you to feel your best and to be most comfortable in the amazing body that you already have.
Yes, and that's what we're all about with our podcast. Yes. Just, you know, encouraging women to feel absolutely beautiful in every single way, every single area. You know, even if it's an area that nobody else sees, but you're, it doesn't matter, but how we feel is what's so important.
100% agreed.
Nikki, we're making an appointment, Dr. Bridgewater. Yes.
No problem.
All those shots, the O's and the G's.
This has very informative and we learned something today.
We did.
Part of our mandate for this podcast is that we are a little bit older now and we really want to keep relevant and keep our mind young and learn.
And our bodies young.
And our bodies young. And mostly just learn something new every day.
And we did today.
And I think definitely
we absolutely did today.
So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you. Dr. Bridgewater had to run from, you had just finished delivering.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Healthy baby girl.
Woo! Congrats.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
This has been
thank you for having me.
Yes. I think we might have to have her back on to just talk about menopause.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. I'd love that.
I would love that as well. So let's talk that and figure out the details.
Yes.
No problem.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening. And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at what.the50.